Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, you guys. We're back. And what a bright day to talk about a depressing episode, you know?
Yeah, this episode, I mean, if you didn't see the description, trigger warning for, you know, we're talking about intimate partner violence, abuse. Mm-hmm. So is that something you don't want to hear about today? Go ahead. Listen to a lighter episode. Listen to Fight.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was a funny one because that episode was hot garbage.
It was. Yeah.
It had a terrible, terrible moral at the end of, hey, don't be a coward. Beat up your bully.
you know, don't back down from a fight because then you lose your manhood. Facts to live by.
Actually, now I think about it, it's all in the same vein of toxic masculinity. So if you want to still get a dose of that, but maybe not from the point of view of like an abuser in a relationship, then listen to that one. Or listen to with the Great Race or whatever when they do the swimming competition against the boys. That too.
Yeah, the boys against girls. Or even last week with Lucy being like, can we not have like women fondling and fawning after you? Like, can we have like a little bit of artistic integrity here? And they're like, yeah. But the girls, the hot girls.
But hotties. Or if you have not already subscribed to the Patreon,
yes,
you could listen to our first bonus episode where we covered Degrassi Talks, the first episode of Degrassi Talks. That's out too. So if you want to listen to that.
Yeah, we talk about hop on over sex. To
the Patreon. Yeah. And while you're there, go ahead and listen to the other bonus content from other podcasts in the Solid Listen Network. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to spend your time. How are you doing, Lauren?
I am doing well. Last week, I wasn't feeling great. This week, I'm still not feeling great, but I'm like, I've got to just get through it. But you guys will probably hear my neighbors. They're already slamming doors. Dogs are already barking. This will be the last time I'm recording in this apartment because... I hate it here. So
the other – I think I told you this, but I was editing, I think, last week's episode, and you could hear, like, someone, like, shouting in Chinese, or I guess in Mandarin. And I thought it was very funny. I didn't understand what she was saying, but I did cut it out because, like, he's really upset with someone.
every day – like, it's always something. So, yeah – trying to come out of rut, trying to get like motivation to go to work and stuff. But I'm moving next week, fingers crossed, which is exciting. And I really like the apartment. So yeah, I feel like I am like saving the planet today. I bought a Brita filter, which I've never done in China. The amount of bottled water I've bought here is truly alarming. That you can't drink the tap water here, so I bought a Brita filter, which like makes me feel like very like adult and like Greenpeace, you know. And and I also like really, because I'd been getting a few packages the past few days, and so I like really like, I always recycle because they got really strict on it here about like specific like types of recycling. There's like 6 bins now I have to figure out. Yeah, it's intense. But I really like, usually I'm like kind of lazy with it and I'm like, whatever, someone else will break down the boxes. But I was like breaking down boxes and like organizing everything. And I'm like, I'm saving the planet today. Look at me.
I love that for you. I love that. It's the least you can do. You know, save the planet single-handedly.
Let's
call someone, call up Greta Thunberg and be like, listen, there's a new sheriff in town, bitch. Should I be calling her a bitch? Is she like 16? I don't, whatever. I think Greta Thunberg could like beat me in a fight. So I think I can call her a bitch if I want to.
Yeah.
Like, listen, little bitch. My best friend Lauren is going to kick your butt by saving the planet faster. So
whatever, right? Bitch.
What up, Greta? Pull up, Greta. Greta, we're calling Greta Thunberg, we're calling you out. We listen to the pod. Pull up.
But how you doing,
I'm Sydney? Kidding. I love her. She's great.
She's doing so many good things. We love her.
She's amazing. I think she's amazing. I'm doing okay. I also kind of had a not great week, I think, or last week. I think it's because of like all of the built up tension and anxiety from the election. Post election, I just kind of like my emotions and just like I felt physically exhausted. Mm-hmm. So like for a week and on top of like my cramps and sinus issues and everything, I just kind of like bummed around a lot, watched a lot of TV, slept a lot, and I decided today I am, you know, turning a new leaf, new attitude. So last night we cleaned up. We finally put up some pictures. We moved in July. We just haven't hung anything up. And I was like, let's hang these things up. So I got like some things hanging up now. Apartment's very clean. We did like a full deep cleaning, which mm-hmm. is great. And I think one of the things that I need, I think I said this earlier on in quarantine, is that I'm the kind of person who needs, I need structure. And yeah. I think I kind of fell off a little bit, and that was kind of allowing me to be like, you know, very non-productive, kind of lazy. I wasn't really, in turn, actually had my mood just kind of bad mm-hmm. as well. So, after we record, I decided, okay, well, something I was doing in the beginning of quarantine that was really good is I was working out. Like, I was jogging and stuff. It's gotten too cold. I'm not going outside.
Nah.
But I found, like, a home workout. I'm like, okay, I'll do, like, a home workout every morning. And also, I was like, well, you know, wedding is in time. I have plenty of time to try to, like, get myself wedding ready. So I'm like, I can start now. Why not? You know? Plus, also, good to exercise. So, gonna start there. I have things planned for me to do, like, little projects and – I need to get back into writing because I've been really lazy with that as well. So I'm trying to like jump and just like hit the ground running and do something productive. And I think, you know, not, you know, of course, I am not a mental health professional. I do not speak for other people. I know it's
but
very frustrating.
But also I speak
have,
for
like,
other people.
Mental health issues and people but no, you know, it's frustrating when people talk about mental health and it's like, have you thought about exercise? That's like, that's bullshit. Gosh, but for me personally, I've noticed that actually does help. So I'm like, you know, I need to put initiative into doing stuff to make myself feel better. So I'm going to do that.
And it's not just like one, like, you know, one and done thing that like helps everything. It's like those small little things that you're kind of talking about, just implementing that can make a difference.
So I'm starting today. It's like, okay, if I can get back on exercising in the mornings, because that's what I was doing before. I would get up in the morning, I would go run, I would make my coffee, mm-hmm. shower, I would start like working on stuff. That really got me going. It's when I wake up in the morning and then I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna have a cup of tea and I think I'm just gonna stay in bed a little longer, and then next thing you know it's 5 o'clock and now I feel really guilty that I just didn't do anything, and I start feeling like shitty. So that's what I'm about to do.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
As you were saying that, because I'm the same way in the sense of like I didn't think I was like this, but I realized I'm like, oh, like you like kind of like do better when you have a routine, even though I like the idea that I don't have to follow a routine. But
yeah, I need to like structure my day feel good. Yeah, I mean it.
Yeah. And I think also for me, the with everything of like, it's this very weird mentality of like, an entire year has passed where like nothing has, like our life, our daily life, at least for most of us, hasn't really changed much at all, but like so much has happened. And I think what's weird is like now we're going into like hibernation, like winter mode, and so that's kind of like, oh, well, I've already been in hibernation mode for the past like year. And
exactly.
And so it's like, I guess we're getting more of this. Yay.
Yeah. That's the other motivating factor is that like I can't go up my roof now. Mm-hmm. I could still, nothing's stopping me, but I don't want to because it's frigid. But like those things, it's really shitty for your mood. Yeah. Listener, if you live someplace, you live like the Northern Hemisphere where it is getting dark early and it's just going to get darker early and earlier, take care of yourself. Find some ways to, you know, keep your mood up, because I know it's a rough time, especially lockdown. We actually, today, our second stay-at-home order happened. So we're kind of rebooting March again because, cases here – well, cases in the United States have – in the past week, we've gotten a million new cases. It's, I think, the highest we've gotten in a week. It's gotten very out of hand. And especially Chicago, my family had been thinking about coming – some of them just come see me for Thanksgiving, and I put the kibosh on that. So it was like the cases are really like getting bad. They put us in another stay-at-home today. I would not be surprised if by the end of the month, especially to try to deter people from getting together for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
If they get stricter on lockdown. So it was like – sorry, guys, but I don't think it's worth the risk of having folks travel. It just isn't – it seems like it's just getting really bad. And I think Americans – I think I blame leadership largely. I think I was in the mindset of always blaming individuals and being like, you guys are selfish, which is partially true. But also the fact that, you know, our governments didn't do anything about this and did reopen essentially, I think that kind of got people in the mindset of like, they'll think things are, you know, normal again.
Yeah.
And it's like – I've been reading some pretty scary stories of like first responders of how bad it's getting that I'm like, okay, girl, like sit your ass home. Mm-hmm. We bought like 2 weeks worth of food Friday, and I went into the store on Saturday because I forgot some things, went there and it was so busy. And I'm like, people are really, you know, kind of trying to hunker down. So yes, folks, take care of yourself. Be careful. You know, it's a holiday season, which can be very depressing for people. So try to, you know, self-care, mindfulness, do what you need to do to, you know, make sure you're doing okay.
And the way you can do that is to escape through simpler times. Well, not today's episode, but simpler times of Degrassi.
Yeah, definitely not.
There's no better time than now to just rewatch Degrassi start to finish. And the best part about rewatching, like, you know, shows that you've seen a million times is that you can just skip past the ones you don't want to watch just get to the good ones.
And you can rewatch it with us.
Oh my gosh.
If you're at home alone, pretend like we're there and play us through your house after watching the episode and talk back to us. That's what I do when I listen to podcasts. I have so many friends now.
Like, I'm just like constantly hanging out in like in large masses of people.
My friends are also all like, you know, I have like some journalists from the Huffington Post from You're Wrong About, have some comedians, like, you know, no big deal, but I'm like really good friends with June Diane Raphael. Like, I have a lot of friends from my podcast listening.
Exactly. I mean, the way that I reference, I've stopped feeling embarrassed about like talking, like referencing, like, oh yeah, like instead of being like, oh yeah, like when I was hanging out with my friends and we were talking about this, I'm like, oh yeah, so in this podcast we were talking, instead of we, I say they, but in my mind I say we.
we were discussing
this hot topic. So yeah, just keep hanging out with us, keep listening, keep holding on, because he's gonna make it through. Our good old Canadian friend Avril, she knew.
Oh, that's an Avril Lavigne song?
I'm just changing the keys all
over the place. Yeah, that's to help me realize who it is. I'm like, that's not doing anything for me.
There's nothing you can say, nothing you can do.
Oh, now I hear it. Yeah, that's Avril. Yeah. That's Avril for sure. It's a slow one. A great Canadian. Some other great Canadians, kids on Degrassi. Hi. This week, we're covering season 1, episode 6, Nobody's Perfect. Air date, December 5th, 1989. Synopsis. Kathleen's new boyfriend begins to abuse her physically. Meanwhile, Spike decides to give another try at dating.
What was their first try, Shane?
I guess, and that was a disaster because she got knocked up, and then he like busted his head.
Okay, as the synopsis makes everything make sense, because that was like, obviously being a teen mom, having a baby daddy, that's Shane, having the trauma around Shane be your baby daddy, that's a lot for, you know, a child to go through. That's traumatic. But the way she was acting in this episode, I was like, girl.
So something I think happened, I did not catch it. Listener, if you did, hit us up. I could also rewatch, but I don't want to. So I trust you guys to tell us, to do the work for us. There's a line I think that's said really quickly. I could hardly hear it because Degrassi's audio budget is shit.
Right.
But like Liz says something like, oh, remember that guy from this past summer or something?
Yeah.
So I guess something happened. I'm assuming maybe because she's like a mom, maybe he was like weird about it. I don't know. Yeah. But I imagine it's probably hard dating at 16 or 15, however old she – I guess she's like 16 probably at this point with a kid. I hate to be judgy, but – and this probably says a lot about me. But whenever I watch like Teen Mom or something, like early episodes, and they're like, oh, God, I need a boyfriend. I'm like, no, you don't. You have a child right now and you're 16. I think you need to focus on – maybe like getting a home for you and your baby, or like a job. I think those are your priorities. Maybe work on that. Don't worry about boyfriends right now. Maybe worry about do what you gotta do with your kid. But okay,
we'll be back after a quick break.
Mm-hmm. But in our cold open, okay, so they out the gate.
Oh my God.
Abuse. I thought we were going to get a kind of a buildup of like, oh, he's exhibiting this behavior. And then
it gets, it then happens, it gets,
and then she like realizes this is too much. No. Out the gate, we see fucking Scott, who I wrote, called him a grown man. Cause he, even without the facial hair, he still looks way too old to be at the school.
Yeah.
He probably is. But he's hanging outside on his car. And Kathleen comes over to him, and she's late. And he just, like, straight up pulls her hair and, like, shakes the shit out of her in front of the school. I'm like, does no one see this happening?
The amount of times that, like, this shit was just happening out in the open, bright-ass, windows open everywhere, no one saw this shit. Like,
right, and I'm wondering if that's supposed to be, like, a note that this has been going on for a while, so he's just like emboldened the fuck. Cause he's not even like doing stuff where like maybe squeezing her hand really too tight or things that like he's physically hurting her, but from the outside you can't really see that's what's happening.
Yeah.
He
full on just grabs
her hair and like, like excuse me, someone call administration. Like this man is is beating Kathleen up. Like
Yeah, it was very, very harsh because, and it's like, it's honestly, this episode is a lot. But I think what's really so sad is that, like, Kathleen, this is the happiest we're seeing Kathleen.
Yeah.
Because she's, I mean, it's like the extremes of, like, you know, the extreme happiness about having someone show whatever the heck this stuff he's showing towards her, and she makes her really happy, and then the downfalls as well. But yeah, she was so excited about leaving school, and then he's like, you're late. And then she backtalks, aka having a conversation with him. And
yes, like, dialogue, that's how that works. You dialogue. Say something, then I say something, then you say something.
And yeah, it was very, very intense, very quickly. This episode, I multiple times was like, oh my gosh, like, I just didn't want to watch it. Like, it was very, this, all the kind of scenes were very, very intense scenes.
Yes. They were all, he made me scared. Like, I was just like, oh God, like, he's a fucking, what is it called? He's like a ticking time bomb, basically.
Yes.
anything and set him off. But he immediately apologizes to her and tells her that he didn't mean to hurt her and he loves her. And she accepts it. And I'm just like, oh, Kathleen, no, don't. We'll get into, I think, the choice of Kathleen being the abuse victim in this scenario. I take issue with it in a way, but not – I get it, but I also like – we'll talk about it anyway.
Okay.
In our first scene, we're in Mr. – what's his face's class? I don't know what class – English? And they're doing
– the cool guy with an open blazer and sleeves rolled up teacher.
Oh, the one who's trying to fuck his students. Okay, yeah, that guy. I don't trust it. I also started watching that Hulu show, A Teacher, and I'm just, like, suspicious of any young teachers. I'm like, you guys are trying to fucking fuck your students. Stop it. Yeah. Oh, no offense to you. You're a young teacher, too, but
no,
you're not.
But there's, like, the teachers
you're
that
board.
Are... There's the teachers that are, like, too, like, we're friends. Like, I'm just one of you guys. I'm like, no. Nah.
No, it's like I said it in an earlier episode. If a teacher wants me to call them by their first name, I'm immediately like, no, you're trying to have sex with me. Please leave me alone. Your name is Mr. Hallworth. That is your name. That's your legal name. But yeah, they're doing like Alex and Diana are doing a scene from Romeo and Juliet. And Luke and Joey are laughing at it because they're teenage. That's probably the most accurate thing to happen in this episode. It's like, yeah, probably they're laughing at how silly this is. But the teacher pairs Luke and Kathleen up to do a reading as well. And Joey and Caitlin get paired specifically because Caitlin's like, I'll partner with Joey. Like, very excitedly. And I'm like,
Kate, listen.
Girl, is that your guilt?
Caitlin is doing the absolute. I mean, Caitlin, the past three episodes she was playing Arthur, she's playing Joey, and now she's playing Joey again. And I'm like, girl, what are we doing here? Why would you volunteer? And Joey's just as confused. He's like, Caitlin wants to work with me. Why? Houseway? Like, why is this happening?
Well, because Caitlin's issue is that, like, she's aware that what she did was wrong. Now, her feelings changing for Joey are not a problem. I think that's fine. I don't think you can't blame her for that. The way she handled it was not great. I think she's trying to, like, make amends in a way, but in a way that's, like, you're kind of forcing yourself back into this person's life that is not fair. I think in a situation where, like, you've hurt someone, I think it's fine to extend the olive branch, but I think Caitlin does the thing where it's like you're really trying too hard to, like, let's just go back to how it used to be. Like, oh, we'd be friends again. It's like, my feelings are hurt. It's going to take some time. We can work towards that, but it's a little bit, like, it's not fair that you are kind of, I think in a way to make yourself feel better, kind of, like, trying to force the relationship faster than, like, it's going to take. Because Joey was genuinely hurt. It's very clear Joey was, like, very hurt by the whole situation.
Yes. And I think – I don't think this is the – I don't think they were trying to make this a plot for Caitlin in this way that I'm about to explain. Mm-hmm. But, like, we've all – I feel like even, like, subconsciously sometimes, like, we've either all known someone or, like, subconsciously done this when, like – like, you know, a relationship or whatever it is has like ended, but like you still want them like in your back pocket to like feel comfortable. And Caitlin's kind of giving me that vibe where I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why?
Yeah.
Like, now you're getting like nostalgia over like you and Joey now that you like don't see. You're like, well, you know, he is funny. Like, but like 2 weeks ago, like you couldn't stand him.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's happened to me recently. It was just weird because this person who I used to date a very long time ago has like come out of the woodwork suddenly and like following me on social media. It's just really random and very like, why are you? Like, it's just weird. It's weird. I think it's people being weird. It's like, just move on. Yeah. Move it along, buddy. I think also because of this, that suddenly it's like, I'm like, okay.
Everyone's just flocking.
I know, guys. I'm taken.
I'm a taken woman.
But, like, he's going to be an honest woman. It's like, no, I don't know what that means. Why do people say that? But, so Kathleen's nervous, though. She runs with Diana and Melanie, and she's like, yeah, you know, the play that she had auditioned for ever since. She's, like, going to find out if she's in it, and she's very nervous about making it. And they remind her, you know, a lot of times the cast, it goes to seniors and stuff and older kids, which is not wrong. It happens a lot in high schools where, like, usually, you know, if you're a lowly freshman, you're probably going to be playing the chorus. Like, you're probably not going to be a main character, a named character in this. So
did you see or hear the, like, one girl, she's like, oh my gosh, finally, after 4 years of trying, I finally made it.
I know, she really has been, like, it's like she's auditioning for SNL. Like, she's auditioned so many times. Mm-hmm. It's like most people on SNL have auditioned, like, several times. It's like, yes, finally, Lauren said yes.
I can finally be here.
I can breathe. I've made it. But Kathleen checks the cast list, and it looks like she didn't make it. And she tells Scott, you know, and he didn't make it either. So, you know, they're like, kind of like, yeah, we both didn't make it, whatever. But he immediately starts to love bomb her after the incident outside of the school. He gives her a heart locket for their 1 month anniversary, and he so loves her so much, and he wants to apologize. I know, he wants a fucking Walmart, or the Walmart equivalent. It's like when Gary went to Walmart to get Amber her from Teen Mom her engagement ring and asked if they had a return policy.
He knew.
I mean, rightfully so. He knows his woman. He's like, listen. Well, it's another abusive relationship. So, like, yeah, he's
damn.
Like, yeah.
But it that the necklace.
He's like, she might punch me in the face after I give it to her. So
I need to know that I could take this back. But the necklace that Scott got literally looks like, what are those? They're not gumball machines, but they're like those machines you put a quarter in, and like they give you those little like plastic balls that have something inside.
You put it in the quarter and then you turn it, and then you get the little, like, yeah, it's like a pink cap and it's clear and you pop it open and it has like a little thing. And yeah
he got it at the arcade.
He got that at the Chuck E. Cheese.
Damn.
I wonder how many tokens that was.
No, it was so many. Yeah. that was like I feel like Chuck E. Cheese actually was just an introduction of capitalism to young children. Now hear me out.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You work so hard.
I'm on board.
You work so hard, you know, you get all these tickets, you know, work all these hours, you know, pressing buttons, you know, wiggling, knobs or the whacking moles and sifting through some stuff, and you finally get all the tickets, like, you know, buckets and buckets of tickets, and you get up there and you can get a 15-piece puzzle, some candy, and like maybe some bouncy balls and like a Jack set. But like,
and it was also always upsetting because I was always certain that I had enough tokens to get,
right?
Like, or tickets to get like a teddy bear. But I never was. I always end up getting like one of those little plastic, like the paddle thing with the ball that's stuck to it. I always got something like that. And I was like, there's no way all my hard earned, like all my work on skee ball got me this.
Damn. Skee ball, and you know,
it's also a scam. Because you keep in mind how much money our parents paid to like to get all those tokens plus the tickets. The gifts they got you were so fucking cheap. There's no – you basically paid like $10 for this one little like chugga-chugga-chugga little thing, plastic bullshit. Like if you – like damn, Chuck E. Cheese. I'm surprised they got – they're closing now because they really ran like a fucking like scam.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, it cut out for a second.
No, it's fine. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I haven't thought about Chuck E. Cheese in so long, and now I'm like, you're right. Wow. Ugh, capitalism ruins everything. But later, Liz and Eric – okay, so Liz is still on her – Liz is the fucking worst. Like, I detest this character at this point because she purposely bumps into Erica in the hallway. And I'm like, will they ever resolve this feud? Or are we just accepting that Liz is some self-righteous monster? Because she bumps into Eric. I'm like, listen, Erica already whooped your ass, Liz. Let it go. Like, the fight happened. I don't know why you're still picking at her. But she bumps into her and she goes over to Spike who is wearing noticeably a Pogues t-shirt. And this Irish guy named Patrick pops up, and he also is wearing the same shirt. And he likes that about her.
I love how, number one, they're like, we need people to know that he's Irish, which I've recently found out in, like, every TV show. They, like, if someone's from Ireland or Scottish, they, like, make them put on, like, a cable knit sweater and, like, one of those, like, old school, like, cabbie hats. And they're like, okay, so now they look Irish and they have a, like, obnoxious Irish accent. So now people know for sure they're Irish. And his name is Patrick.
But I'm pretty sure the actor is Irish because this is Canada. There are just Irish people. Like, they're, I don't know why I said it like that. Like, there are just Irish people. They, you know, they exist. You know, there are Irish people who aren't deluded by being Irish American. Like, they're Irish people. Have you heard about this shit? So I know. But, like, you're right, though. Like, he – that maybe that's for the American audiences who will not understand and be like, why is this guy Irish? Because I think we're so used to people, I think, just not being from other places unless they're places we're used to people immigrating from in this era.
Yeah.
That I will admit that if I were just watching this show and there just was an Irish character, I'd be like, why is he Irish? Like, what? I need you to explain. It's almost like in 10 Things I Hate About You, because Heath Ledger couldn't do a good American accent. They had to explain why he was Australian, because the whole time I was also watching and being like, I love this guy. His name also is Patrick. He's very sexy, but why is he Australian in Seattle, the 90s? I need to understand his journey. I need to have his immigrant story, because I don't get why the fuck he's here. But – yeah, so he asks Fike out because he's like, I think really because I assume he's been checking her out. I don't think he just was like, hey, we've got the same t-shirt on. Oh, that's a bad accent. We got the same t-shirt on, girl. Let's hey, let's date. But he's like, yeah, you know, let's go out. And she's like, no, like I can't. Like I have busy evenings. And he's very understanding. He's like, oh, yeah, the baby. Like he's like, oh, okay, whatever. But he leaves. And Liz asks Spike, I don't know, what is Liz's deal? Does Liz like him? I feel like she likes him or some bullshit.
I have
vague memories of Liz pulling some shit later on about this boy.
Yes. I think this is like strike one for Liz with Patrick. But I think Liz, like, I think Liz very much is like that friend that's like, we're friends, Spike. Like, we have our thing. Like, Liz, like, low key considers herself a second mom for Emma. Like, they're a thing. But, like, they're set as super, super strong friends. And so I think Liz doesn't like that. I think Spike is like personable and like friendly.
Spike is likable. Like, Liz.
Yeah,
Spike Liz hasn't bullied a girl over her abortion. Like, sorry, you know, Liz.
She's a people person. and I think like Liz is that friend that, you know, she is, you know, coming at it like, hey, I'm just looking out for you, but also like holding you back, because this is when she says, she's like, oh yeah, like she'll bring up like stuff that like was problematic in the past that you should avoid, but like this is different, so like let her enjoy it. So like Liz is like, oh yeah, remember that guy from last summer? He just what'd she say? She's like, he just started talking to you because you were pregnant and thought that you would do it. Or, like, knew you had already done it, so you would do it again. And so...
Okay. It's like, oh, that's what she said. Okay. I didn't catch it. Oh, that's mean. That's a mean thing to just bring it up again. Mean. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
That's really mean.
Like, nothing about Patrick gave off that vibe. Like...
yeah. But also, like... if anything, because he's Irish and he's probably strictly Catholic, if anything, he probably wouldn't want to date Spike. But he's one of the nice ones who's like, no, I will date this woman. Like, mm-hmm. You know, if anything, you think he would just be judging her harshly. It's like, no, I don't know anything about Ireland. I'm just saying things from what I saw from Angela's Ashes, and I'm pretty sure it's all bullshit. But like – pretty sure that movie is all lies, I've heard. Like, it's all
That's all up. You need to know about Ireland.
Yeah. Like, I watched Glee when that Irish guy, Damien, was on it. And they really played up his being Irish. Like, they had him wear clothes that were from the 50s. I think they were, like, really, like, going for, like, he's Irish, but in, like, a very old-timey way.
Like, yeah. I do know Patrick said, I think later, he was like, I'm from Dublin. And I do know that Dublin's, like, a very, like, international city. So I guess it's, like, one of the modern kind of hubs. Yeah, it's, like, the New York City of Ireland, you know?
Yeah, I believe that. But, yeah, no, okay, thanks for saying that. That's what she said. That's really fucked up. Because it's, like, yeah, okay, that guy did that, which is also fucked up. But you don't have to bring it up every time Spike wants to talk to a guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, he probably just wants to have sex with you because you're not a virgin because you have a baby. It's just like, okay, bitch, damn. Like, ouch. And maybe what about it? Maybe I want to fuck. Mind your business.
I know. Like, Mom.
Yeah.
Mama's had a nice break after Shane. She's ready to get some again, okay?
I'm ready to go out. I'm trying to live my life out loud, okay? You know, Liz is definitely a hater. I get very strong. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost want to say it like, she's a hater. She's a straight hater. No, Liz is a hater. She's a friend who your friend goes out, is like doing everything she can to be like, are you really going to go out with that guy? Like, okay, bitch. Yeah,
she's a cop block. Am.
Yeah. Like, oh, I hate her. But like, no, I have vague memories though of Liz later on. I think Spike and Patrick go out a few times, but then they just – I think she can't go for some reason or something, and then she goes to a concert with him. I'm like, Liz, what? Like, she's a bad friend. Oh, God, I can't stand this little bleach blonde punk. Anyway, so Kathleen tells Melanie and Diana that she didn't make the play, but she shows them the necklace that Scott gave her, and – Scott shows up and he's like, let's go eat lunch. And Melanie notes to Diana that, like, Scott always tells Kathleen what to do because he's like, let's go. Like, we're going to go eat lunch together. Like, I guess she's not really hanging out with Melanie and Diana as much. But Scott and Kathleen sit down together.
Yeah, they're like,
oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, Melanie's just like, oh, yeah, like, whatever Scott wants to do, that's what Kathleen, like, immediately, you know, follows suit. Like, there's no discussion about it, you know?
Yeah, so they're definitely picking up on some weird control things. Kathleen and Scott sit down together. And she's like, oh, you know, Kathleen really loves to act. And we've established this because Kathleen was in plays before. She's very, like, she's into theater. And she's a theater kid, which explains why she's so, like, histrionic a lot of the times. Except for in this episode. Yeah. She's generally very histrionic. But she wants to try out for a community theater thing. But he's like, no. And he's like, you know, I hate to tell you, but you didn't just make the play because you're a freshman. Like, you can't act. You're bad at acting. And she's like, no, but I won, like, my junior high thing. Like, I'm an actress. And he's like, no, you suck. Don't do it. But it's very clearly he's trying to make her feel bad about herself and keep her from doing something without him. But he's just like, yeah, no, hate to tell you, but you're not good.
Yeah,
it actually made me laugh though because it was so like, whoa, that's mean.
Yeah, it's honestly like it's sad because it's like his manipulation attempt is so like lazy. Like he doesn't really try very hard at like making like, and so it's sad because like immediately Kathleen's just like, okay, all right, like this is what he says, okay? And it's it was so like, ugh, it was because it was like he was like, you can't do the community theater thing because like I'll never see you and I love you, we'll never see each other. It's like, oh God, no, please make this stop.
Red flags everywhere.
Yeah,
so many red flags. But I mean, I'll say that Degrassi is definitely hitting the notes of like signs of abuse. Like,
oh,
is your partner trying to control you? Does he like put you down? Do they do this or, you know, whatever? So like they're trying to do the thing where they're educating people about it. But, you know, but Patrick runs into Spike later at her locker. And of course he's in a band because of course he's like, he's cool. Like he wears Pogues t-shirts and he carries a guitar. Like he's in a band, like in a good one, not like the zits. And they play like pubs and stuff. Like, they're cool. But he offers to go. He's like, hey, which I think was really nice. He like compromises. Like, since you have to pick up the baby later, why don't we go on like a walk right after school for a little bit, and then you can go and get the baby. And I'm like, that's sweet. Like, little, like, he really wants to see her enough that he's like, hey, let's do this. Like, could you do this maybe?
I know.
Yeah.
He sounds very mature. Like, I don't know what about Patrick it is, but he seems like.
Well, he also looks old as fuck.
I am a cop. Yeah, he and he's tall. He's so tall compared to Spike. And this, like, 30-year-old man is just, like, because I think also, like, you know, you think about, like, you know, think about, like, a young mom, usually, like, if she wants to find something that's going to last, like, she needs to find someone that's more mature. And he just very much gives off the mature vibes of, like, yeah, like, let's just, like, go on a walk and chat. Let's discuss what we think about things. Like,
yeah, let's get to know each other.
What is this? I mean, I'm looking for that now at 28. Like, where's my Patrick, you know?
I mean, that's a great date, actually. Like, a walk.
I know.
I think some of my best dates were just, like, I mean, usually we got food or something, and then we, like, walked. Or even we got food, it was, like, something you could just walk with and, like, sit someplace and eat. Like, and that's, like, fine. It doesn't always have to be, like, a proper date. Like, we're going to the movies and dinner. It's, like, you just be, like, a little casual walk is perfect and great time to have little conversations that feel like there's less pressure because at least you're, like, walking and you're not just, like, sitting and staring at each other. Which is, like, I think very high pressure in some situations. So she's like, yeah, okay. Of course, Liz shows up and she's like, oh, like, what does he want? And I'm like, oh my God, like, get away. Go away. I hate that, like, are they trying to make Liz this unlikable? Because she wasn't before. I think she was like, oh, I think she's fine. But she's gotten to the point where it's like, wow, you just suck. Like,
yeah, this Degrassi High, they're like, listen, you're the villain. We need, you know, we're gonna give Kathleen this depressing edit. So, like, we need a girl to take the bitch role. Here you are, Liz. Like, because you think about, like of the like the, you know, the abortion harassment, this side friend who's, like, trying to be involved in her best friend's relationship. Like, that's very, like, old school Kathleen vibes.
It is. It's very, like crossing a lot of boundaries. You know what I think this episode's yes. about? It's about boundaries. Like, obviously, Scott really violates them because he, like, physically abuses Kathleen. Caitlin doesn't have boundaries because she just thinks we can just be best friends as soon as I say let's be friends again. Liz doesn't seem to understand that your friend has a life that's not yours, so you need to back the fuck off. Because she really – Liz is acting like her mom, basically. Like, oh, who's he? Oh, he'd stay with him, these boys. It's, like, very, like, ew. Like, stop being weird. Like, go do your roots or something. I don't know. Whatever. just go away. After class, Kathleen asks Luke to rehearse, you know, their scene. Because it's Kathleen. Of course, she, like, cares about the assignment. She wants to do well.
Yeah.
But Luke is kind of just being like, who cares? I'm just going to read this. Like, it's not a big deal. But while they're talking, this shit was scary. You could see Scott in the background, like, looking through the door. He's, like, leaning through the door. And he's watching them talk. And, you know, from his vantage point, Kathleen's one, she's talking to a guy and she's like, she's kind of grabbing his shoulder and stuff because he keeps trying to, like, walk away from her. You know, Kathleen's being Kathleen, basically, being like, listen, I'm talking, we need to do this. But of course, Scott is taking it the wrong way because he's, you know, an abuser. So when Kathleen is alone later on, he, like, throws up and starts, like, throwing her up against a locker to, like, interrogate her about Luke, which is very scary. And again, no one's seeing this. Like, it's like, what, like, why is the school – is it because Degrassi's budget's so low they just don't even have extras? So they're like, yeah, realistically, there's nobody here. Just like – we can't pay these kids. So, like, they're just alone all the time. Like, oh, my God.
I know. And I think – yeah, I guess they were trying to – I don't – this episode was, like, scary in that sense because it was, like when stuff was happening, like, no one was around. And so that was, like, very frightening. I don't know if that was, like, an artistic choice or a budget choice, but yeah, that was That was really, really shocking. Because, yeah, it's like they like literally cross the hallway for him to like throw her up against the lockers and like, you know, grab her shoulders and stuff. I think also her neck. But yeah, that's when like Melanie and what's her name?
Diana.
I always forget her name. Diana. I'm waiting for her to like show up. I know. I'm waiting for like her to be like referenced and like have a part in a episode coming up so I can remember it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they like are like watching the kind of like ending of it in like shock and horror, being like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, because they caught it at the point where he does have his hands like around her neck. He's like kind of choking her. So like, yeah, like at the climax, they're like watching what is clearly a violent interaction.
And I think what was so, I mean, you know, as we say every episode, Degrassi did it first, but I think what was so like monumental and like what made it even more shocking is I feel like the trope of like an abuser or portraying what an abusive relationship looks like, or like a wife beater or whatever it is, like it's always portrayed in an adult relationship. Like it's like something that happens like in adulthood, in a marriage, in a troubled
partnership.
Yeah. And usually in like, it's like, oh, well, this guy's poor and lost his job and he just drinks and the family is poor. And so like, this is what happens. And so like, it was very, this is maybe the only time I've ever seen this really happen or portrayed is in Degrassi. Like it's, spoiler alert, say, Degrassi loves a good abuser relationship.
They so love often. It. But you know, I think this is around the same era. I think this is, because this is like the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. I think this is around the same time when we started seeing that a little bit in some teen dramas. Because I think before, when I think about other shows, well, also the teen dramas really didn't really become a thing until this era, right? Because you had like, you had shows that had teens in it, but usually they were focused on a family and there was a teenager in it. But later on, like around this era, is when you start getting like the 90210s, the Degrassi shows that are about teenagers. And of course, and also your occasional after school special. But you're right. I think this is a time when we start to see that being discussed because we didn't really see it. And even now, I think a lot of times people still are more likely to think of like an abusive relationship being like a domestic, like adults living together and not like, I can't remember the stat. I worked very briefly at this like, anti-domestic violence nonprofit when I was in college for like an internship, but it's way more common than you expect of like a, you know, abusive relationships in like high school amongst teenagers. But this episode of Degrassi reminds me of this Lifetime movie, and it's so good. I highly recommend it. It's called No One Would Tell, and it stars Candace Cameron from Full House and what's his name? The kid from Wonder Years.
Oh, Savage.
Yeah, Ben Savage's brother. Yeah, so you have Fred Savage. So you have these two, like, actors who are from, like, very iconic TV shows that, are, like, are teenagers and DJ Tanner. I'm just going to call her by, like, well, she's DJ to me always.
Her government name, DJ Tanner.
It's DJ Tanner. It's Candace DJ Tanner Cameron Bure is in an abusive partnership as well, but they're in high school and it's such a good one. It ends really sad. Like it's a really fucking sad movie, but it's so good because it's like a lot of like the moments in this episode look very similar to what the movie did, which came out later. So I feel like they probably stole from Degrassi a little bit because there are moments like where they're in the hallway and he like throws her up against a locker and people see stuff, but don't say it. And that was the whole like premise of it, that like her friends see things happening that are suspect, like the bruises, or I think at one point, like, he slaps her, like, in front of everybody, like, at, like, a dance. Like, he full-on slaps her, and everyone's, like, they come out, and, like, outside, like, what the fuck? Like, they're, like, freaking out. Yeah. And she's, like, I'm fine, and they just get in the car and drive away. And I'll spoil it, but he kills her in the end, because she eventually tries to break up with him, and he murders her. I mean,
that's the escalation of abuse.
It's not uncommon of, you know, trying to leave a partner and they kill you. Or a lot of times it's even accidental. It's like any other fight that you have, but it just goes too far and someone ends up dying. But, like, she dies and then, like, the whole thing is, like, you know, we need to make teens tell, when you know this is happening, talk to the parents. Because when they're in the trial for his murder and he goes to prison, the judge is like, you know, very sad that this happened between two teens, but like everyone saw this happening. Yeah. And no one would tell. No one said anything about it. So it just kind of was allowed to keep happening. But as is the case in this scene, when Melanie and Diana see it, Kathleen is like, we're fooling around, but we're playing around. And she like goes away. And it's like, that is not like fooling around. Okay, so when did this happen? Because she goes home and it seems like it's the same day because she's wearing the same top. And there's like flowers waiting for her. I'm like, when did he send these flowers? Like, were these for the first time he hit her, or this for this time? Because I'm like, this. She suddenly had a box of roses, and I was like, okay, didn't she just fight like an hour ago?
Okay, so there was the hair pulling, then came the necklace. We had the throwing up against the locker that Melanie and Diana saw, and I think the flowers came from that.
Yeah, but then, like, it looked like it was the same day. Like, literally, it's like the fight happened, which seemed like it was kind of happening after school or later in the day. And then suddenly she has flowers. Or he sent those flowers because of the first fight and they got to her.
Damn.
And he had done another thing. So it was actually like this, he owes her another gift because technically that one's for the first time.
Yeah.
He's good shit.
None of those are good.
None of that is good. I'm not trying to be like, hey, like, you better cash in a better gift. It's like, no, this is all bad. don't accept gifts from your abuser. He's not good. We get a quick scene where Kathleen asks Luke about practicing again, and he's like, yeah, fine, leave me alone. But Scott ends up cornering her and wants them to go out for dinner. And she says that she needs time to work on her project, but she kind of like evades what's going on. She's like, yeah, I have to work on this thing, so no. But Melanie and Diane end up finding Kathleen, and they confront her about, like, you know, you guys were acting really weird, and what is going on? Yeah. And Kathleen tells them that Scott has a temper and he just gets jealous. And Diana chimes in to be like, yeah, guys can just be like different. I was like, Diana, shut up. No.
You don't know anything.
Like, Diana, no. Diana like, took on, like, a Alexa moment of, like, guys can be different. And I'm like,
you know, they have more testosterone. Sometimes they get a little rough. It's who they are. It's like,
I was like, quiet. Stop. Diana, be quiet. Kathleen, but she has to like, basically explain it away. And she does the whole, like, I can change him. I was the one to blame. I pushed him. Da-da-da-da-da. And like, okay, so this is what I was thinking about Kathleen being the abused victim in this story. So on the one hand, it makes sense. You think about Kathleen's history of self-harm with her eating disorder, because that is a form of self-harm. She has a very unstable family situation. Her mom's an alcoholic. Her dad's never around. So it makes sense that, you know, maybe she was willing to put up – I don't want to say willing to put up with, because it sounds like it puts the onus on the victim. But I guess like – I can see where an abusive relationship would happen because she is someone who is so starved of attention and love that she would take someone like Scott who knows that and who manipulates her because he's like, no one else will love you. I'm the only one you have. So, you know, put up with it basically. But I wish that we saw – I think this is like a thing that happens in a lot of television with teens, also with adults, is that when like a – in particular, a woman, because a lot of times, you know, we do tend to portray abuse always being in a heterosexual relationship, man on woman, even though it can happen in reverse. It happens in same-sex couples. It happens in a lot of different ways. But Kathleen, I think a lot of times we always – like the victim is always someone who is like similar to a Kathleen of like, oh, they don't have anyone. They come from a broken background. So it's no wonder they end up in this situation. I wish you would see more stories where like – because I think it doesn't drive home the fact that this can happen to anybody. Like, you know, there are abusers that exist. And one of the reasons why they can be abusers is because they, you know, it's – they – what is it? They groom you. It's not like on a first date an abuser is just going to be abusive. They can charm you like any other person. I guess you like them. And then these things escalate a lot of times into abuse. And before you know it, it's kind of like being a frog in like a pot of water that's slowly boiling. Yeah. Before you know it, now you're in a situation that didn't look like this in the beginning. And I take issue with so often when we do have these stories, it is this kind of like – I think it's like a really – kind of almost shitty message of like, see, like, you know, Kathleen's a broken bird, so of course an abuser will find her, as opposed to like, it can happen to anybody. Like, it can, it doesn't, you don't have to necessarily come from that kind of situation to then be an abusive situation. And also, abuse is not always physical, it can be emotional, it's a lot of things that play out in abuse that I don't know. I want to see a different interpretation of this story, because I think it lends a little bit more nuance than just like, oh no, yeah. Girl from broken home whose dad used to beat her mom, so now she's in an abusive relationship. It's just a little bit, I don't know, cliche at a certain point.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, it's when we talk about, you know, Degrassi, it's like groundbreaking, but at the same time, like it's, for, you know, and when we think about how things are in 2020 on, and how we have an understanding of what things really are, like that things aren't cliches, things aren't classic tropes, and so, you know, the portrayal of things also needs to be represented, and that represent those things as well, like the
right, yeah,
what abuse has always looked like, but now it's like I think people are more aware of. I'm so sorry about these dogs. I'm so
literally, it's okay. I actually don't even hear it.
I know.
So
I have a feeling that the mic has been picking it up. I think it should be fine when you're talking over it, but like when I tell you that these dogs have never barked this much ever, I don't know why. I'm not looking forward to trying to fall asleep tonight. but yeah, I think, you know, we're just a more aware world now in society that,
but you know, are we though?
Abuse can I don't look so many different ways.
I think we're only still just having the conversations. I don't think that we're as like, it's one of those weird things. I don't think we're as ahead of it as we think we are, because I think we still do this story. Because I think the unfortunate implication is that like this kind of abuse only happens if you have a low self-esteem. If you don't have self-worth, mm-hmm. that's how you come to be abused, in a way that almost implies that like abusers sniff out victims of like, let me find the, like, I'm trying to find like the weak gazelle in the herd, and that's who I get, as opposed to like plenty of abusers find perfectly self-possessed people and break them down. Like, that's part of the abuse, is like making you feel like shit. So you can go into totally being like, I got my shit together and I know who I am. And then at the end of the day, now this person has broken you down to this point where like you buy into the idea that I'm not worth anything because they made you feel this way.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, it's like, I don't know. I think it's like a really weird thing that I think still happens in media that I wish would like stop.
I know.
I would like to see a different interpretation, just because I think it's A, more realistic, and B, it doesn't have that weird, it doesn't put the, it's still like this weird like victim blaming thing almost that they don't mean to do, but it's almost like, well, Kathleen's just, you know, really needs to know who she needs to really just like, you know her self-worth. Know your self-worth. It's very like, okay, yeah. Like, I don't know.
Well, even we'll get into it later. I'm not going to read any of them, but when I was looking through the YouTube comments earlier, I mean, am I surprised? No, but like, some of y'all are trash out here being like literally victim blaming a fictional character.
Proves my point that like people are, I don't think we're as evolved as we think we are. I think we still are like, a lot of us are still very, myself included, because I'm not, you know, I don't live in a vacuum. I'm not hyper woke. I make mistakes too, and I have thoughts that are not as progressive as I like to think I am. But I think it's like, we need to do better is when we have these conversations. But I guess what is changing, well, now I think we're almost overcorrecting now, because now everyone calls everything gaslighting, and I'm like, they just lied. It's not gaslighting. Like, lying is immediately gaslighting. Like, I saw this really weird one that was like, this is on Twitter that kind of went viral this past week. I wish I could find the tweet, but it was something along the lines of like, if you, if your partner, if you go into a sexual scenario and one partner thinks that this is going to, and it's like a one night stand, one partner thinks this is going to become a romantic relationship and the other person doesn't, and like, you know that, then that's assault. When you have sex with them. I was like, whoa, guys, like, I'm so happy we're having discussions about assault. That's great. I love to see it. Let's talk about it more. Let's try to put, you know, take the stigma away from it and have honest conversations. But I feel like we've only got almost started to overcorrect in some ways where like people are literally calling things assault and abuse that are just like, come on. Like, is it purely consensual? Is it truly consensual if you think it's this and it's that and it's not and then you have that? I'm like, no. Don't do that. Like, please. Don't do that. Like, I saw someone call, like, it, like, literally people will refer to something being gaslighting if someone just literally lies. I'm like, that's just a liar. That's just a person's a liar. They're not a gaslighter. That's a different thing. Like, come on. The words mean things, people. Like, I know we're trying to be better, but, like, okay. Me lying to you about, like, my whereabouts doesn't mean I'm gaslighting you. It's gaslighting you. If I told you my whereabouts and suddenly I try to convince you that I didn't say that, that is gaslighting. But just being a liar is just fucking different. But anyway, I digress. Sorry. I get very frustrated when people take like very sensitive topics and try to apply it to everything they see. And I'm like, okay. you're using, I don't think it means what you think it means. So Caitlin and Joey are practicing in the library. And it's Romeo and Juliet, so very awkward.
Course.
I know Joey's like, Joey doesn't even know what this is, but he, deep down inside, he wishes it was Macbeth or Hamlet, but he doesn't even know what that is.
So
he's
something else.
Literally a tragedy. He's like, I don't want to do this. It was bullshit. But Caitlin wants to talk, of course. Both of our fit games are pretty good. Joey's always got a really good vest. Caitlin's got a cute pink blouse with a little headband. I was like, oh, you guys look very cute. But she's like, I want to be friends. Like, I want to be friends with you. And he agrees, but it's very clear that he's still hurt. But he's kind of like doing the thing where you're like, yeah, sure, we could be friends. But like, he's not ready. He's not ready to make that commitment, obviously.
And it's also, I think to some extent, like, when they, like, had, quote-unquote, broken up last episode, like, I think it was kind of implied that they were going to, like, remain, like, whatever they were before dating. Because it was, like, basically, like, it's like, hey, we say hi in the hallway, and then flirting, dating, broken up. Like, and so, I also, like, I didn't like Caitlin this episode because she was like, oh, like, we need to talk, like, I need closure, like, it's not me, it's not you, it's me. And and she's like, okay, so she's saying all this stuff to like, mm-hmm. like kind of like close things out and just be friends with Joey, and then she has the audacity to be like, you know, it's kind of nice, you and I, just, you know, us two together.
Yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. what kind of bullshit is this, Caitlin?
She's like, oh, it's like kind of like old times, right? I'm like, no, because old times was when we were dating. No, like, old times, we were literally dating. So, no, it's not like old times because you dumped me.
Like, and the thing is, as a woman watching this, I know exactly. Words mean things, and then words mean things on a whole different level when a woman says them, because we know exactly what we're trying to say when we're saying them. Mm-hmm. Caitlin knows exactly what she's trying to say. She's like, oh, like, you know, like, how romantical and shit. Like, we're, you know, we're doing Romeo and Juliet. Like, you know, I'm kind of missing Joey and his attention that he gave me. So I kind of want to like play this up a little bit so I can like feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to keep the boundary of like, you know, we're just friends, you know, it's not you, it's me. We're broken up, remember? But like, isn't this romantic?
Like, no, it's messed up because she's doing the thing where it's like, it's one, you're sending mixed signals, like you said, because it's like, yes, let's be friends. It's like old times, isn't it? It's like you're doing a lot that's like, you need, if you want to be friends, be friends. If you guys want to, you want to date him again, date him again, but you can't do that weird in between just when you're dating someone else. Like, it's like, don't do that. And he's like, you know, he still likes you, obviously, and he feels bad. Like, don't dangle that in front of someone. One.
And also, Joey, it's just like, Joey is not Joey. Smart.
He's not. He's like, oh, I can change. I can change my clothes, my personality. I could talk about politics. Like, no, you can't talk about politics, Joey. Like, come on, get off it. Like, come off it. Like, you can't. And that's okay. That's fine if you can't. But it's exactly. Like, she's right. And I think she was right in telling him, like, we're just different people. And we're not compatible. That is fine. That is true. You're not that compatible, honestly. At least at this point in their lives, they seem very, like, incompatible. But it's just, like, that weird self-serving thing of, like, I want to apologize to you, but it's for me. It's not really because I want to make us better or really try to patch things up and get back to a friendship. I want to make us feel – I want you to not hate me, basically. I don't want you to hate me anymore. So I'm going to do what I have to do to get you to not hate me without thinking about how that in turn hurts you. And I think that's something that people – guys, if you're apologizing to someone because you just don't want them to hate you anymore, that's not a good reason to apologize. No. It's a very bad reason. And it's usually – the other party can usually tell that you're doing it in like that bullshit like – self-effacing martyr way of like, oh, don't hate me, I'm the worst. Like, yeah, you are. You're being the worst right now. Stop it. Yeah. But Joey storms off because Caitlin's being a fuckboy, basically. And he leaves. And I'm like, yeah, she's a fuckboy.
Exactly.
Like, Caitlin is classic fuckboy. Like, you're doing a lot. Do less. God. But Spike and Patrick are on their little date, and he's telling her his origin story, how he got from Ireland. He said the story that I need, and like, how are you doing here? And you know, the thing is, I'm only that way with white Europeans. Anyone else, I'm like, oh yeah, you're immigrant. Yeah, of course. Something about white Europeans, I'm just like, what are you doing here?
I know, like, what happened? What happened over there with you?
I don't know. I feel like I'm channeling my indigenous brothers and sisters and being like, I got your back. What is this man? What is this white man doing here? Why are you here? What are you trying to pull? Like,
I don't trust it.
But he's like, yeah, I'm from Ireland, blah, blah, blah. And he like at one point just put his arm around her, and she like is like, don't, I'm not getting touched. He gets like very like antsy about it. She's also wearing this like weird Spike has on this Billy Idol t-shirt, which is on brand, and then this weird denim tutu where, like, the top is denim and, like, the bottom is a black tutu.
You know who wore the exact same thing but in pink was Miss Louise from Teen Witch.
Louise Miller. Oh, my God. Maybe, like, Spike watched Teen Witch, and she's like, I want that look, but, like, more punk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see it. Yeah, it was quite the look. I was like, okay, it's a date look, but I guess they look good together because they're both all like punked out. So like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he wasn't wearing a matching Billy Idol t-shirt. He's like, oh my God, weird.
He was wearing a cable knit sweater, but he did add like a large safety pin to make it punk. So
yeah.
He's like, I'm Irish, but punk.
I'm like punk. He's like, this cable knit sweater got a hole. Instead of just getting a new one, I just put a safety pin in it. Mm-hmm. So now it's punk. Mm-hmm. So... But she's really something about like when I think about people who are like who really fall into any subculture, honestly, that like especially that kind of rides on this idea of like kind of anti-establishment, I don't give a fuck, but knowing that they're putting together an outfit, like it's very contrived, but it's like they're still trying to be like the whole thing of like, yeah, like my shirt's ripped, but you know that he like was thinking like, you know, it'd be really punk, I got a big old safety pin, and he like really is in his room just like working on his clothes, like, does it look really cool?
Like you're at the end of the day, like your outfit has to conform to something, you know?
Yes, you're still doing it. Because he could just wear a t-shirt underneath and just have a hole. I mean, that's not that crazy. Some people just do that. But he's like, no, this will be really punk.
Yeah.
Big safety pin. Yeah. So, but she's really – Spike is definitely very – being very cagey. She's not, you know – I think she might be into him, but she also is just kind of like – My read is that Spike has been mistreated by a lot of dudes, that she just is, well, two men at least, or two boys, because Shane and then this guy from the summer. It's very clear that she's like the kind of person who has been in such bad relationship situations that they can't tell when someone's actually just being nice to them, because they get some ice cream. And he's like, oh, like, I'll pay, like, you know, because it's a date. So he's like, I asked you out. Like, I'll buy you anything. And she's like, I can pay my own way. She gets very like, no, I got money. And he's like, okay, haha, then pay for me. Like, he's like, he's like, he's very cute and trying very hard to, like, kind of break the shell. But, you know.
Yeah.
She's not used to it, which it makes sense. After knowing she dated Shane, fucking Shane. Yeah, I get why she's creeped out about this guy, but she lets her guard down a little bit, and she's like, actually, my name's Christine. I'm like, oh, government name basis. Like, actually, you know, Spike is really like the mask I wear. My real, the gooey inside is Christine. Yeah, so Scott is waiting around for Kathleen because she's running late. And it's while she's working with Luke. So I'm like, fuck. I got very nervous. I was like, okay, he's definitely going to find them working together. And like,
this scene was terrifying.
It was so tense because he's like, he's searching the school. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, Luke, get out of there. I don't know. Like, something. Luke, jump out the window. Do something.
Like, this scene is it, yeah, like the music behind it, it was like a lot of like, kind of like, you know, a buildup of a beat, and you know, to like kind of get to the big like moment that something happens, and he's like searching through the school, and like there's like even some moments like when Kathleen and Luke are together, she hears like a bang or something on a door, she like turns around because she thinks it's Scott, it's not him, but you think it's him also as a viewer, and you're like, it was like kind of scary as someone that doesn't watch scary movies. Terrifying. I was like, had a lot of thriller elements to it, you know.
Yeah, it was scary. It was terrifying because he's a fucking violent monster. Yes. But he does see, he finally catches them together. So he's like, he comes in, he immediately does like, he's a fucking scary because he puts on like the face of like, hey, can I talk to Kathleen real quick? Like, and Luke is just, sorry, Luke is funny in the way that he just like, okay, bye. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. So he's like, yeah, sure, like, I'll leave. And so he does. And he starts throwing books, and he's like, okay, this is unintentionally funny, and I, not the abuse, but because
please,
it starts.
Yeah, please explain.
It's about acting. Like, so he's, like, aside from the fact that, like, the thing is, like, he doesn't focus on the thing I think he'd be focusing on, is that, like, Kathleen is with a guy. It's about the fact that she's practicing acting. So he's like, I told you, you can't act. And she's like, I love drama. And it's like, what?
The dramas. We haven't even mentioned the way she says drama 5 million times.
She's like, I love drama. But it's funny because it's like, I expected him to be really upset about the guy, but it, which I'm sure it triggered him. But he's fighting her about being an actress, which is like, what? It was silly in a way that's like, but he does start to like pummel her, and he's like to beat her basically. And it's awful part where he slaps her on the face, she hits the ground, and he kicks her, and then he like takes a necklace and leaves. He tells her she's a useless piece of garbage. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, like, I know, like the words, the actions, I was like, what? Like, this is a fucking teen show. We haven't even seen this level of, like, hitting even in, like, an adult drama.
Yeah, I think the closest we've gotten to this show is probably Rick and his dad was another one.
Oof.
Which was really rough. But, yeah, he, like, I didn't expect that. I've seen this episode before, but I don't really remember it that well. And I did not, like, the level of violence in it is very, like, whoa. Like, he really, like, beats her up. But in the hallway, she's trying to cover up some very visible bruises on her face, which was, like, this is after school. This is the next day, I guess. And it's, like, I'm surprised she just didn't do this at home. But okay. But she's out. But it's for dramatic effects. I get why. Because I think realistically, she probably would have done that at home. But she is covering up the bruises, and Scott apologizes to her again. He tells her he loves her. And she says, if you love me, why do you hurt me? Which I'm just like, oh, Kathleen. I want better for Kathleen. I really do.
I know.
He fixed the necklace, and he's trying to give it back to her. And she walks away. And she's like, no, I don't want to do it. And he's like, I'll never hurt you again, I swear. She turns around, and it ends with that fucking upbeat music and Kathleen's fucked up face. And I'm like,
what I God. Tell you.
Like, do a fade to black, Degrassi, or something. Don't do
And when we tell you, like, it wasn't even a slower version. It was the exact same score that they had. They're like, well, I just got beat up, and here it is. Here he is trying to apologize and try to get me back so I can re-enter into this cycle of abuse and with this full-grown man. What am I gonna do? And then
God,
and then
yes.
the credits roll, and so you just keep on hearing it, and you're like, what the fuck, Degrassi? You gonna give us a somber note or nothing?
Yeah, they really should have shelled out money for like another end credits song that's for like somber episodes. Like I literally feel like this never happened, but I feel like Degrassi would end with like a dead body, like a zoom in on a dead mutilated body, and be like, it's like, no, like, no, read the room, guys.
This might be the worst one yet, because usually it's like we'll get like a really harsh cold open, and then we get the, well, we, I think we still got that today, where it's like, you know, jump into the theme music, but now we got an entire depressing episode and then a jump into the theme music.
It feels a lot worse, because I think a lot of times, I mean, we've seen this happen before, but occasionally after a depressing episode, it might end on a hope spot. This one ends kind of ambiguous, because she might go back to him, or she might not. We don't know. Like, that's just it. And I'm just like, Kathleen, I hope she doesn't. But we also know that in I think the stat was that on average in abusive relationships, I think physically abusive relationships, that it takes about 9 times before you can really end it, which I hate. It sounds so somber and kind of not to deter anyone from considering it, but it's not as easy as people tend to think that it is. It's not that easy. It's easier said than done, I guess. Do you want to read us some of these trash ass YouTube comments? Because I know they're trash.
They are trash. But I think I found some good ones this week. So starting out, which I was dying laughing when you were talking about the Savage Brothers earlier, because I was thinking of this comment. So my name sister, Lauren Baker from 2 years ago, says, Scott looks like an ugly version of Fred Savage.
Oh my God, he does.
I know.
Like, they're both very, like, short and stocky guys with big heads.
Yes.
Fred Savage has the dome. And so does Scott.
Also, we've mentioned it before on this podcast. If you aren't aware, the actor that played Scott is a convicted...
I keep forgetting that.
I know. He was convicted of child pornography... or I forget the new wording to call that, but and then also like bestiality, and then apparently in like
what?
And then apparently in the 90s he had like several rape accusations as well, like not too far away from the filming of this
episode. Oh my God, see, no wonder he got cast as this. Like, what he did, I bet you he went to that audition, he didn't even know it was an audition. He just was being, like, an abusive piece of shit. And like, wow, you're doing great. And he was like, I'm sorry, it's not a good joke. But, like, it's like, he's a monster.
I know. Oh my God. What teenager can do this and make it this terrifying?
Oh, my God. Ew, what a gross thing to be in the cast of this show and find that out and be like, oh, whoa. Like, I encountered that person.
Liv from 2 years ago says, Scott can catch these motherfucking hands.
We love to see it. I love so much.
We love a good like fan you know, fan enthusiasm for literally like beating up a character, but like let's beat up the actor too.
Yeah.
And then the last one, which we kind of mentioned as well, someone, Kawhi Panda from 3 years ago, says, "Oh my gosh, the Rick thing," with me referencing Rick from Next Generation. "Oh my gosh, the Rick thing started from a play too." And then someone replied,
"Oh yeah,
Degrassi needs to stop trying to put on plays." There's so many bad situations with plays. Wasn't when Emma gets a social disease, wasn't that around plays too? Like, damn, Degrassi.
Oh my god, stop. I never realized that, but now I think about plays at Degrassi are unlucky because like somebody gets like, beat up, someone gets gonorrhea. Like, it's cursed. Like, the drama department at Degrassi is cursed.
The drama starts here, Degrassi. Is that one of the catch lines for Degrassi? The drama starts here.
I think it was at one point. Yeah, it was like one of the little like advertisements, like, the drama starts here. Drama. But
I keep on. I can't stop hearing how it's like, but I love drama. Like, drama is my life. Like,
now that you see, now you get why that scene was unintentionally funny. Because I was like, why are they talking about, he's literally like beating her up and talking about theater. It's like, that's not like, it takes the air out of the sails of scariness. Because like, what? Like, he's like a weird theater kid. Like, what the fuck? It's so strange. He's like, I told you that Sondheim was better than Andrew Lloyd Webber. Like, why is that the fight?
Sorry, what?
What the fuck? Oh, gosh. Oh, man. I mean, that's still just – looking into our ranking system, I think that this episode was very 90s Canadian because of the drama, and also because I think the way – it was handled. They did the best they could with the time period they had. But I think the episode definitely is dated. It definitely is so dated.
Yeah.
And it does the thing where it's so cliche and we're trying so hard to teach kids a lesson, but then it ends up being funny, like that fight, because it's like, who's writing this? Like,
exactly.
It just sucked the seriousness out of that last scene, really, like, fucking ruined it for me. And as a result, I would give it an 8 for 90s Canadianness.
I would agree on that.
Yeah.
We had the drama alone, you know? It's high up there for sure.
Yeah. Though I guess they were kind of like, deconstructing expectations, because I think a lot of times with an abusive storyline, they'll choose a guy who kind of represents this kind of hyper-masculinity, like, oh, he's an athlete.
Right.
But this guy is in plays, so, you know.
He's a loser.
He didn't even get in the play. Like, he's not even a good actor. Like, he's a senior, too, really, so, like, he sucks.
Exactly. That's what I really liked it about it, because I remember, not liked about it, but one of the kind of points they kind of, like, noted, or, you know, kind of showed, was like that he wanted to always bring her down with him, of like, whether it be like doing things, or, you know, hanging out with other people, or when he didn't make the play, he was like, thank god. she's now she really is as bad as I am.
Yeah, because like, god forbid if she had like been the star in the play, then it would have been a whole — I almost wish that they had done that. I think it would be interesting if they had, instead of having it be like, she doesn't make the play either, and then it's about this weird class assignment, it'd be interesting if she did make the play. Despite being a freshman, she makes it. And now she's, you know, and he didn't make it, and now she's like, you know, busy with this stuff. And he's like, you know.
And he probably would have made it be like, you need to quit.
Yeah.
You're too busy.
Yeah. Lonely. I think that would be really interesting because then it – there we go. If we really wanted to hit on the fact that he's trying to take away something that means something to her is the acting thing, mm-hmm. I think it actually – the stakes are higher and it's a lot more meaningful if she had made the play and he's trying to keep her from being in it versus her doing an assignment that she has to do. It's not like, it doesn't really say much about her passion if she like – one was assigned to do this versus like, no, I really made the play. It's my own thing that I wanted for myself and then he tries to take that from her, I think would have been a more impactful thing than like – I had to read Romeo and Juliet, a scene with Luke. Like, who cares? Fashion.
Maybe like a 5. We had like what you're saying with Joey and Caitlin.
Well, we had Spike. Spike's
look. Oh, yeah.
And the Pokes t-shirts, which are very of the time.
Oh, now I'm kind of thinking maybe an 8 or a 9 now. I forgot about those.
I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
Because they're not like, the focal point of it, but like there's some outfits in there that definitely stand out. Yeah. I'm like, whoa. Especially Spike's outfit. It was very like, fuck.
Yes.
It was almost like a costume.
Love the passing department.
Acting.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, I agree. For an episode that's so like intense, yes. I don't know if it was as intense because of A, the music, and also just no understanding the context of it, or if the acting was good. And I don't know if the acting was very good.
Scott, I think, was a terrible actor. It was just very weird because it was like, he was a terrible actor, but he also like was still scary. He was still scary. But I think
that's just Kathleen's, the guy.
Yeah. To Kathleen's credit, I think it can be difficult at that age, especially who knows if like the actress had ever even had a boyfriend before, like let alone like have an idea of like how to portray like what it's like to be in a abusive relationship. So I mean, mm-hmm. if you're gonna be bad at something, like, this is maybe a good episode to, like, not have experience to go off of, you know?
Yeah. Agreed.
But it wasn't great, which I'm not upset about. I don't want it to be great. But also, mm-hmm. Scott, the actor that played Scott, was still scary as hell, so.
Yeah. And also the actress who plays Kathleen, I love – the Kathleen character is very interesting. I will say that, like – I've definitely come back from being like, Kathleen's the worst. I mean, like, Kathleen's actually just really interesting. No offense to the actress, but I don't think she's definitely not one of the stronger ones in the show either. So I think it was a big role to carry on like a very serious thing. I think that she's not as equipped to be able to convincingly play, like you said, an abuse victim. I mean, I think the strongest actress we have on the show might be Caitlin. I think she's like one of the stronger ones. I think could probably pull it off a bit better. I think that I think Erica did very well. You know, so I think it's tough. It's tough. You're right. I think I would put the acting at maybe like a 5.
Okay, 4. I would agree with that. I would give a 5. Yeah,
maybe a 5. Yeah, you're right. And last but not least, plot. Did it go there?
Yes. I give it a 10 on the plot. Like, this is... Damn.
Yeah. I agree. And I think it's still, even though I took issue with the cliche of it all, of having Kathleen be the abuse victim, it does make sense in the context of the character, too. I think that's something that... It's good to consider, I think, in Degrassi of – I'll say for the most part, Degrassi is good at not just making characters do something just for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
It tends to kind of be – it's pretty consistent, I think, that like maybe that – yeah, maybe I can believe that Kathleen would be in a similar situation. Though, of course, like I said, I wish we could break that mold a little bit and show a different story.
Yeah, you think about like – you know, like the trauma she's experienced in life and in her home life, already issues that she's presenting when it comes to disordered eating, you know, all these things that her character has kind of built up that when it comes to friendships or relationships, those are going to be problematic regardless of what kind of problems exist. But yeah.
Yeah. But that puts this episode, Nobody's Perfect, at 30 Trapper Keepers out of 40. So it puts this episode in the third place position behind Everybody Wants Something. So it's high up right now, it looks like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I think generally speaking, this episode was fine. It wasn't I mean, it's high up on the ranking system right now, but I think it was
– Yeah.
I think it's important in the Degrassi way of, like, trying to tackle bigger issues that need to be discussed. But, yeah. Shall we go on to our soundtrack?
Yes. You are first this week.
I am. So – pretty straightforward and simple. I chose the song Voices Carry by Till Tuesday. Because it is about an abusive relationship. Though I think that song focuses more on like an emotionally abusive relationship of kind of like the that aspect. But I think that's relevant to this episode because we do see kind of how Scott love bombs Kathleen and then he withholds and he does, you know, it's a cycle, right? So I think I can imagine Voices Carry being a good illustration of what this episode was. How about you?
I was struggling a little bit this week with finding a song. And so I went with something different, but also like not too poppy. I went with What's Love Got to Do by Tina Turner.
Oh.
And, you know, the song isn't obviously specifically about, you know, abuse in relationships, but, you know, in the sense of, you know, the lines that I think Melanie said and then Kathleen said later, you know, like, love shouldn't hurt this much or something, or if he loves you he wouldn't hurt you. And so I think, you know, when Kathleen is saying like, oh, but he loves me, or when Scott's saying like, oh, but I love you, it's like, what's love got to do with it, you know? Like, your love like shouldn't have any like justification for your abuse, or, you know,
yeah,
or, you know, and if you do love me, then why are you doing this to me, you know? So
right.
And yeah, and it's just like, you know, with Tina's singing, it's, you know, some of the parts when she's singing, it almost sounds like she's like crying out, like,
yeah,
like,
I mean, also so. Understand the context too of like Ike and Tina Turner, all that,
yeah,
also that movie. Oh god, that movie's so good. Hey, listener, if you haven't watched, seen What's Love Got to Do with It, starring Angela Bassett and Lawrence Fishburne, what are you doing? It's such a good movie.
Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here and go watch that. I don't know
how Angela Bassett didn't win more awards for that role. I mean, we know why, but like,
yeah,
we know why, because she really like she really plays the fuck out of that role.
Fuck out of everything she does.
Yeah. She does an amazing job, but you know. I think Angela Bassett's only just now like getting more mainstream attention that I think is crazy to me. Because like Angela Bassett, when I think of like amazing black actresses of our time, like Angela Bassett, like what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Like, I genuinely think that a lot of white people only got hip to Angela Bassett when she was on American Horror Story. And I'm like, you've missed out on decades of amazing performances, guys.
Like, take a trip down memory lane, catch up, jeez.
Oh, god, idiots. Anyway, this is the Angela Bassett fan podcast, welcome.
We're gonna call it we're Angela Bassett stan podcast. Let's rephrase that.
I love that. I love that. But guys, keep listening. Next week, we're going to cover episode 7, Just Friends. Maybe a little synopsis. Heather has – ooh, this is a good one. This is a fun – it's a dating one. And Lauren loves the dating ones. I knew it. Heather has a crush on Wheels and plans a party so that she'll have a chance to get closer to him. Meanwhile, LD is out. Sorry. It's just like LD has no episodes, and the one time she gets one is like LD's hospitalized. like fuck LD. No, this episode is a good one because I like that Heather finally gets
I know.
Finally. It's about Heather. Yeah. You know, Erica's had her time to shine. Heather gets a moment too. Yeah. Ooh, I'm looking ahead at some of these next ones. I think we're getting a lot of good, like, fun teen ones. Like, you know.
Yes.
About, like, you're going to take drinking, out drugs, drinking. Like, we're going to have some fun here. Yeah, guys, keep listening. Of course, you can check out our soundtrack on Apple Music and Spotify. I need to update it. I'm sorry. I need to add the song. I promise. By the time you get this episode, you're going to have songs on Degrassi High soundtrack on both, at least on Spotify. Lauren's already done hers.
But mine was late too, so...
I thought I had more songs on it. I opened it because I was like, oh, I just want to make sure I don't like double dip and choose a song I already had. I opened it on Spotify and there were two songs there. And I was like, we've definitely watched more than one episode. So I need to go back and add the other ones. Yeah, but it's going to be great. We've got some good stuff coming to you. Guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you, as we mentioned earlier, if you haven't already listened and subscribed to the Patreon, Solid Listen Network Patreon at the $5 level, you can already go listen to our recap of Degrassi Talks, the sex episode, and we have another one coming out this next month in December. So it's gonna be some fun things coming up. It's exciting.
Yeah. Year's coming to a close. Let's pray that 2021 brings us some happier times. Again, guys, take care of yourself. I know this, like I said, holiday season can be a very happy time for some people. It can be a really sad time. I think especially because a lot of us are detached from our families and our friends. Take care of yourself. You know, try to take it easy. Reach out to people who you love if you can. Find ways to take care of yourself and find those connections, because I worry just because knowing how this time of year is just not great for a lot of people. And then on top of everything, all this shit, it's just like, it's not good. So, you know, if you can find ways to relieve your stress and, you know, take care of yourself in any way possible, please do it. We care about you.
Exactly. We love you guys.
We do.
We love you all. We love every single one of you, listeners. So thankful for you. And yeah, you make us so happy.
Make us so happy. So such a warm, fuzzy feeling when I think about you guys. But yeah, guys, keep listening. As always, we will catch you later, Broomheads.
Bye, Broomheads.